Are you ready for a change? Be it physical, mental, or emotional change, you've already got what it takes to make that happen. Your host for the upcoming program, the Matt Newton Power Hour, has trained in martial arts over the course of several decades. Time and time again, his training methods have saved or extended the careers of dozens of NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball stars. Matt Newton has authored two highly acclaimed books, A Path to Power and The D Factor. The Matt Newton Power Hour starts now. Here's Matt. I've got the power!
Hey, yeah. Let's do a live radio broadcast. Afternoon, everybody, and I mean everybody, everywhere, all over the world. Hey gang, welcome to the Power Hour. I'm the Mac Daddy, in the house, with of course, the fabulous Natasha. Right there in all of her glory.
Oh, thank you. Now, hello, everyone.
Now, you know, Natasha, they can actually watch us now. So why don't you turn to the camera and give them a beautiful smile.
There you go.
There we go. Magic Man, lean forward and wave. Let everybody see your face. There he is, the Magic Man in the house. Hey, gang, welcome to the Power Hour. I'm Mac Newton. Welcome back. We are listening to the music of William Count Basie, the big band stylings. Of course, he's a band leader, and he was on piano, did all the composing. Also did play some organ during that. And he was the first band leader to rise to national acclaim with the Kansas City style of big band, swing. That's where all the swing style of big bands, where they had the swing dancing style, came from Kansas City. A lot of people don't know that. You know, all the swing between the legs and bebop, you know, it all started there, see?
So they're not just good for barbecue.
Oh, you're right. But you know what, though? They're really good for barbecue. That Kansas City barbecue is no joke. I don't want to play that down at all. Well, anyway, I got all the information on Count Basie right here on my computer screen, and we're going to tell you all about it. But you know what, though? Like so many others, even William, Count Basie, studied music from his mother, because she was a music teacher as a child. And so we're going to tell you all about it. You know, in Harlem, studied organ music informally with Fats Waller. Can you believe it? Wow. So anyway, lots of stuff we're going to tell you all about Count Basie, so you can add him to your music collection, you know? Now, for all you guys who don't know, the Mac Daddy has moved very, very forcefully into the digital age. All of my music now is on my iPod. Can you even hold it up over there? Can you let them see that? All of that. Can you see that, gang? Yeah, right there. Even what we're listening to right now. You know what? 6,500 songs. It would take 29 days and 30 hours, and it's like 13 hours of continuous listening to listen to everything that's on there. And that's only one third of my music. That's a lifetime music collection right there, Huggy Bear. You know what I mean?
Constant party in there.
That's why we're listening to such a diverse form of music, because it's available. I don't have to go out there and find a CD. I can
sit right. No worries about, you know, scratch discs or anything.
It's awesome. And we're listening to Count Basie and his big band. In this collection I've got here, I've got a collection with his small orchestra. I've got a collection where he's singing with vocalists, female vocalists and male vocalists. And, of course, this is called Corner Pocket. He wrote this. And then later they added words to it and called it Since I Met You. But now it's called Corner Pocket by William Count Basie and his big band. Born in New Jersey in 1904 and died in 1984. A long, fulfilling life. Hey, gang, welcome to the Power Hour. We've got a fabulous show on tap for you guys today. Welcome to spring in Phoenix, everyone. In beautiful downtown Phoenix, Arizona, I'm looking out the window right now and all I can see is blue skies. I mean just blue skies, and it's 80 degrees and sunny. I hope I haven't upset anyone right now with that. Wow. Zach, what did it feel coming in for you? Was it warm and sunny out there? You got the windows down yet? You still got your heat on? What? What's the story?
I mean, I might have had the heat on this morning, to be honest. But yeah, definitely by this afternoon, driving with the windows down. You know, spring training and everything going on. Like I said, it's absolutely perfect outside.
Tasha, what did it feel like for you, my darling?
Oh, it's great. I just got a lunch outside.
Sitting on a patio?
On a patio because it's beautiful, gorgeous.
Yeah, outside right now. It's gorgeous. Well, you know, we want to send a shout out to one of my clients, Michael Ellenby, originally from Australia, and he is now on the side of Mount Everest in Nepal. I mean, yeah, we've got pictures on Facebook. Let's see if we can go over there and get him, get a picture of Michael on the side of Mount Everest as we speak. He is climbing. We're getting pictures of him. Today's picture, this is day three, and he sent me a picture. Now, you want to see this, just go on Facebook, he's sending me on his iPhone every day. Can you imagine? He sends me a picture from Nepal of him climbing Mount Everest every single day, and by the time he takes 20 more steps, it's on Facebook all around the world. that's craziness. And anyway, he's... on his third day, in the picture today, he's on a rocky cliff. It's about a 3-foot wide pathway, sheer rocks on the left side, okay, and a drop off of I can't even see the bottom on the right hand side. You know, all I can say about that is, no way. I can't even imagine trying to pass someone coming the other direction. I mean, I'd be terrified. Plus, not only that, but it's cold and you got no air. What? All the power to you, Michael, but I think I'll pass.
Well, I hope Michael enjoys it.
Oh, he will. He's prepared for it. We got him in shape. He came here to train for that. And we may even have another one of my clients, Kent McClellan, who has climbed 6 of the 7 tallest peaks in the world to this point. And maybe 5 of the, oh, I'm not sure. He thinks he's got 2 left, and one of them is Mount Everest. Well, Michael's not going to the top. He's only climbing to base camp. Well, see, base camp in Mount Everest is at 19,000 feet. That's base camp. I mean, you got to think Mount Hood is only 14,000 feet, and that's a major climb. So he's climbing to base camp, and it's going to take something like 8 days.
What is Everest, like 26,000 or something like that?
Everest is like 29,000 feet, and once you climb, get past like 26,000, they call it the death zone.
Nice. Right where you want to be.
Okay, right. Right. Okay, exactly. I am going to voluntarily go into the death zone. Not. Oh, there's no way. Okay. The death zone. Oh, no. And, you know, from what I've read, I've watched some of these things, and I'm fascinated watching these things on the Discovery Channel. And you watch them, and there are times when you actually walk past people who are deceased, but they can't get them down. It's so cold, so high, and they're there, frozen in time, forever. I mean, that's got to be a little weird. But that's what you got on Mount Everest, and people die there every year, I guess. I mean, I'm not sure that's something. Well, anyway, I got big ups for people who do that. Huge ups. Well, Michael's on his third day. Michael Ellenby, he is doing it. Let's send out good wishes for Michael on his trek to base camp, and then he's gonna. I guess that's going to tell him if in the future he wants to take a trip all the way to the top. All right, there you have it. Michael is making that happen. Okay, great show on tap for you guys today. Aside from our musical guest host of William Count Basie, our early segment is going to, I'm going to make a case against milk. I'm trying to help you guys be healthy. I'm going to make a case against drinking milk, all right? I'll show you both sides of the picture. Are there some positives? Of course, there's always some positives to almost everything, you know. But I'm going to make a case against it because everyone's making a case for it. And I mean, every commercial you see, you know, all these athletes are in magazines with, you know, the you know, the little lip, the milk around the lip, you know, got milk, all this kind of stuff. Well, you know what?
Milk mustache.
Yeah, milk mustache, not got milk, don't need it, going to make my case against that, all right? My main topic today, you know, we've got so much on our agenda. It seems like we haven't done a show in a month. We only skipped 1 week, and that was only because we were doing our worldwide radio program, Blair Singer and I, from right here at this office, in our studio here, on goal setting, which was amazing. We're going to share some of the emails that we've got with you from the people who are listening to the show right now. So we're going to share some of those. It was a tremendous result, and we're going to do that again. So in other words, we're going to talk about the chances of change. And some of the things you can do to tell you where you might be in this whole process of change in your life right now. Because we know that's what you want to do. You want to change and get better all the time. But first, as we always do, right now, shout outs. Come on. Right there. Shout outs. Andy out in Spain. Al down in South FLA. Okay, Alfredo in Mexico. Great seeing you here a couple weeks ago, Alfredo. Kurt in England, got a picture of you and I on Facebook together. Veronica G in the Philippines, our show is truly international. Larry and Kimmy right here in the Valley. Peter and the Bevzilla. DZ up in Michigan, I'm glad you're enjoying the workouts on our workouts online. Barry and Jeff with our Chicago Taekwondo program. Gwen Hall, highest ranking woman in Taekwondo in Texas. And of course, our whole Denver extended family with Nick and Tom and all the guys there in Denver. Wow, our shout out list is just growing. There are more, but hey, you know, I mean, we're just giving the veterans a little plug and we'll shift them on and off there sometimes, you know. Hey, a little update for you guys. Our website is kicking. 12 minutes past the hour, gang. I'm Mac Newton. This is the Power Hour. We do it every single week. Well, most weeks. Right here, Thursday, every Thursday at 5 o'clock and from beautiful downtown Phoenix, Arizona, blasting out just internet, worldwide web, wherever you are, go to macnewton.com, tune in, join the party. The website is a blast, getting better every day. You know, if you go to the website, in fact, I got to go there just so I can kind of catch you up on everything that's there. That we're doing right now. When you go to the website, you'll see that Mac's Video Vault is growing by the day. We've got at least 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, at least 8 videos on there right now. You can go back and see some of the some of our archived videos back in the 90s, even 80s, when I worked with the Oakland A's. You can see some workouts when I was working with them. You can see some interviews with some of the managers and coaches I worked with. You can see me on TV demonstrating some recipes, you know, and even working with some athletes like Raf Sampson, who just recently voted to the Hall of Fame. And it's just amazing. Our I Will Fight Back self-defense section has been added to our icons. You can click on that and see a video of upcoming classes. And we've even added some forms and lots of information, lots of text information there for you. And we're also eventually going to have the entire six-hour program being actually online, free, for everyone that goes to macnewton.com. Now, it may not be as in depth as it would be if you were taking a class right in, like you've taken, Natasha, here. Yes, it won't be like being here with me personally. But what I'm trying to do is create some awareness and bring some attention and put some light on this subject. And you go to I Will Fight Back Self-Defense Online and get started in that process. And because we want to be safe, we want to keep you, your daughters, your husbands, your sons safe in this world today. And the way to do it is not by just staying in and not doing anything, but by being able to take care of yourself in case something does happen and know that you can and you will fight back if it comes to that. So check out the website, the Power Hour. Now you can listen live and you can watch it. We've got several preview shows on there, and we've got one show. And so what we're going to do, like today's show in its entirety, is being videos. And so that will be on there. So every week we'll trade one off. Like, we won't have all the video shows archived, but with all the audio portions will be archived. At least for, I'd say at least 2 or 3 months of those will be available online all the time. So, and of course, going into my gym and working out, and that's growing every week. People are taking advantage of it, which it's just going to take time, and I really like the rate at which it's growing. So there's an update. The website is a blast. It's just videos are everywhere on everything. You go there, spend some time, and see what's going on over here. MacNewton.com. All right. Go there. Send me an email, 7@MacNewton.com, with your questions, with your comments. Now, I promised you that I was going to give you some of the emails that came in from Blair Singer and I's radio workshop on goal setting from last week, last Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. So let me see if I can find a couple of them right here. Let's see what we got here. Here's an email. This came in from Ashley Stucker. I think this is from England. He says, after the program yesterday, I was so excited and confident about reaching my goals. I could feel the blood racing through my body, and I couldn't sleep, not even to dream about my goals. Despite the lack of sleep, I'm still crazily driven today. Thank you for the tools that are helping me become who I'm supposed to be. Ashley Stucker, you're welcome. See, and we've got lots of these. I'll share one or two more with you. It was a tremendous program where all you had to do, I've never done anything like that before. I guess Blair Singer, the CEO of Sales Partners International, and I've been telling you about him over time. We're going to have him as a guest on the Power Hours real soon. He took off this morning on his way to Singapore, I think. But when he gets back, we'll certainly have him as a guest on the show. And he's, I guess, came up with this plan of using the telephone as a way of having a worldwide meeting. A toll-free number where everyone could call into, kind of check in, doesn't cost them anything, and then they would all be muted and be able to listen over like a speakerphone or something, listen to the program that Blair and I did. Now, it was moderated at Central Headquarters by one of Blair's staff members, in this case, Rachel Perlmutter. She moderated, accepted all the calls, and there was a signal, like you could press like *1 or *2 to raise your hand. In other words, you had a question. So you were able to actually ask questions, or you could even send emails in during the program.
That's cool.
That's very, very cool. So it was like having a live class. You just couldn't see everyone, and it was interesting to get immediate feedback, and we got lots of that. And we're able to deal with it on the spot. Now, we didn't have so much of it that it took us out of our prepared program. But we were able to get some response because Blair's approach was just brilliant. He created an environment where he encouraged everyone who bought in to have at least one partner there with them so they could turn and work in and interact with each other, ask themselves questions, share their answers with each other, and create a learning environment that was totally unique than if I were just giving this program over like we normally do on the Power Hour. I would say that the dramatic impact of giving that same information was heightened maybe 10 times by the interactive format that Blair had created along with the information that I was giving. It was amazing.
Sounds like a workshop.
It was a workshop, Natasha. It was a workshop that was interactive. It was a beautiful thing. So I gave you some information on it. I wasn't that up to date. The next time we do it, we're really going to push it. We had a big turnout, and it's going to be even bigger. Just maybe one or two more. Here we go. We posted some photos online just from watching Blair and I do the show. Here's another comment that came in Let me see. What's this here? This is, okay, this is from Pennsylvania, right here in the USA. Thank you for having me as part of the team during your super Blair and Mac team debut as goal-setting mentors together. You both did such a fantastic job. Such great content and energy. I will definitely ask for copies of the pictures. And I think there's going to be available, I'll check, and you can send an email. If you're interested in getting a CD, if you're interested in getting a CD, very little cost, of that two-day, three-hour event, send me an email at 7@macnewton.com. And I'm sure we'll be able to make that happen for you. All right? So, anyway, but Stephen out in Pennsylvania, he says he wants to copy me on Facebook. And so he'll be, anyway, it's just tremendous feedback. He says, just tremendous feedback here. Let's see if we can get one more for you guys. Here we go. Feedback. Here we go here. Let's get this up. You can tell I'm not having too much luck on my computer for some reason here now. Okay, there we go. There we go. Okay. All right. It says here, this is from Terry from Cape Town, South Africa. All right. Terry says, thank you for sharing your personal experiences and knowledge during the excellent goal setting workshop. In fact, as I recall, Terry actually sent an email to us during the show and we dealt with it right on. It was very exciting to do that. Technology today is amazing. You know what? And to those people who are resisting technology a bit, this is what I have to say to you. You've got to look at life as if it's a great crystal river. It may appear to be steady or static, but the reality is it is in a it's a constant flow. It's moving all the time, truly fluid. And anytime you decide to just stop, remember, the river continues to flow. And you'll get left behind, and you won't be as effective. You'll say, "Hey, you know what? But you know, I remember back in the 30s or 40s or 50s, we didn't have that." Oh well, yeah, I was there in the 50s and 60s, but you know what? We didn't have it. But we did pretty well. Sure, we did, because we didn't have it. We did. We were in the process of inventing this, and now this is here. We've got to be in this right now. Okay, you know, if you're complaining about, people, you know, treating you like you're old or something, hey, get with it, man. Embrace technology. Embrace what's going on right now. Find out. I'm not saying you gotta, you know, get a Twitter account or get on Facebook. No, I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying understand how technology works. Understand about emails and technology, and you can use this stuff. Look at what we're doing right here on the internet right now, reaching people all over the world.
With some of that, you know, stuff, at least if you're afraid or not sure about a certain technology at this point, you can at least look it up through Google and find out anything.
And find anything you need to know. But I've been able to reach people literally, Zach, around the world. People I converse routinely, not just with people in Alaska or in Florida or in Seattle, but people in Cape Town, people in Australia.
Philippines,
in the Philippines.
Spain.
We're talking about people all over the world here just on this show today. I mean, it's like the world has shrunk down the size of our city.
Absolutely.
Routinely. Now, so anyway, Terry goes on to say, he says, thank you for your personal experience. Your intensity, your passion, your caring, focus, and dedication is truly inspiring and a catalyst in itself. I am excited about the journey ahead and applying what I've learned so far and what will be learned moving forward. That's awesome. Terry Marsh, Cape Town, South Africa. What can you say, gang? That's awesome. Okay, and that's kind of bringing us up to date on what's been going on over the last couple of weeks. I'm Mac Newton. This is the Power Hour. The fabulous Natasha is here in the studio, as you can see and hear. And, of course, Zach, the magic man, as usual, right here. It's 25 minutes past the hour. I'm going to get started on making my case against milk. I may not finish it before our break, or we may delay the break just a bit until we can make a suitable end to it. Okay? So, all right, let's see if we can move into that right now. So, next time, Zach, we're going to really get involved in informing our people. But it was my first time. I didn't really know what to expect myself. I didn't know how it was going to work. What it was going to be like. But it was so exciting. It was just thrilling. So I want more of my listening audience to take part in that, being exposed to Blair Singer, exposed to his approach to the application of my teaching. See, Blair is one of my clients and my students, and he is applying on a big time level the things he's learning from me all the time. This is what he does out of when he walks out of class all the time. He gets up and he'll say, Mac, he'll take his finger and he just goes point to his forehead. He says, you know, you just hit me right between the eyes all the time. It's like right between the eyes. You see? So he's not just listening to it, but he is applying it. It's like one of the things I said to you right before our show today, Zach. You know, it's not that we want you just to listen, I want you to apply it. You know, and be thinking about it and utilizing these things that make your life better to become habitual, right? To become habitual things that we can continually get better with. All right, here's my case against milk. Now, my big argument about against milk is this simply. For all the commercial success of the lobbyists, the milk lobby, getting people to think that milk is nutritious, getting it accepted as part of a healthy eating plan and a diet, they've been amazingly successful, but they are relentless. And they show no plans of slowing down. They want to make sure all the legislation gets passed that allows them to sell more milk, and that nothing gets passed that will infringe upon their right or their ability to sell milk. Nothing. Now, however, the United States Department of Agriculture, in fact, lists milk as an important part of the food pyramid and recommends that men drink 3 glasses of milk a day. That's the United States Department of Agriculture. However, And even so, a lot of health professionals that I've interacted with, not including me, but a lot of health professionals still believe that it builds healthy bone and muscle tissue. And millions of people pour it over their cereal every morning. Now, a lot of people being encouraged by folks like me, and even some doctors are chiming in, and there's been and an incredible amount of new, very compelling research. Now, people are coming to recognize something I've said for a long time, that milk may not be fit for human consumption at all. And this has been my statement for a long time. I have never changed or wavered at all over the last 25 to 30 years. You know why? Because we're not calves. Milk is something that cows make for calves. All dairy falls into that category, all right? Now, I've got some information here from a doctor. I'm gonna just see, A-L-E-X-A, so that's Alexa. Dr. Alexa Fleckenstein, a board certified internist in Boston. And I don't even need that information to back me up. I don't really care about that. I'm just going to share her data, but it doesn't really mean anything to me. Okay? Just so you know. Okay? I'm going on my own research and what I've seen for the last 30 years of training people for high-level performance and seeing the effects on a large group of people that milk has. All right, but I'm going to share this data for those who need that sort of thing. All right, she goes on to say, we're not calves and we're not evolved to drink cow's milk. That's why milk is such a highly inflammatory food for humans. It's unnatural. Now, while very acute allergic reactions to milk are fairly rare, at least among healthy adults. And the truth is, only about 2.5% of children are allergic to dairy. And they typically outgrow that. An estimated 60% of the world population is lactose intolerant. I go further than that. I say everyone is lactose intolerant to some degree or another. Now, it may be a small degree in some to a point where it's very, very obvious. it is this inability to digest the primary sugar that's in milk and dairy products like yogurt, cheese, butter, etc. And that leads to the common ailments, you know, like asthma, ear infections, nausea, gas, stomach cramps, you know, that most of us would never think to attribute to consuming milk. Those are things that you think are caused by other conditions. Okay, now, the Dr. Fleckenstein points out, of all the animals on the planet, human beings are the only ones that drink the milk of other animals. And that may be why consuming dairy makes so many people sick, and it does. There's even more concern for milk drinkers than a little gas, okay? It's more than just that. Now, the Department of Human Nutrition in Denmark, and sometimes you got to look at some of these studies from other countries, especially highly developed countries, because maybe they're not quite so affected by the milk lobby as it is in the USA. So we may get better information coming down the pipe. So according to the Department of Human Nutrition in Denmark, drinking milk leads to a high insulin response that mimics the metabolic reaction to cane sugar. That makes us sluggish, makes us feel bloated, and puts us at a higher risk for diseases like diabetes down the road. Okay? So in other words, my case against milk is simple. We're not calves. And milk is something that cows make for calves and always have. Now, you might say, well, what about all of the calcium? Isn't that how we get strong bones and teeth? Let me tell you something, gang. All of the calcium that's in milk, the cows get by eating grass, or that calcium is added supplementary. In other words, it just doesn't come in the milk. So in fact, the calcium that's in milk is not nearly as readily accepted by your body and metabolized as the calcium that's in broccoli, asparagus, and other dark green vegetables. So, here's my case against milk. Now, I did point out that I would present two sides to the coin. Did I not say that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, here's my way of saying that, or living up to my word. If you have been drinking milk for a long time, and you've tolerated it, you don't have asthma, you've never gotten ear infections, you're not gassy or bloated, okay? You don't experience nausea, you know, headaches, you know, you don't get that sort of stuff. Okay? You might think, you know, I get some of that, but are you sure it's because of milk? Hey, you know what? Let's find out. Stop drinking it and see. That's an easy way to figure it out. I have told so many parents whose kids have had ear infections and asthma, stop feeding them milk and let's see what happens to the asthma. Okay, check it out. Prove me wrong.
Sinuses
too. Sinus infections? Well, you know. Okay, well, you know what, you know, milk comes from the Greek word mucus, okay? Right? So that's and if you really want to know some of the things that are allowed to be in milk during its manufacturing process, I won't even go there because I don't want to disgust anyone, but I will simply say that certain amount of things that usually go down the toilet are allowed in milk. Certain amount of stuff. And you might say, well, but it's pasteurized and it's cleaned up. Of course it is. But there also is animal hormones that are fed to cows that is still in the milk that we are drinking. So it's not just the milk itself that comes from the cow, but the hormones that are given to the cows to make sure they can give more milk and stay healthy that we end up getting too. What effect does that have on us? All these are factors that people choose to look past because this is something they've always done. They've always done, drank milk 34 minutes past the hour, gang. This is the power hour, I'm Mac Newton. And they look past it because this is a traditional thing. They say, well, what am I gonna drink with my cereal in the morning? I don't care. You know what? All I'm trying to do is get you healthy. And if you're willing to trade off your health for something to pour over your cereal, which, by the way, that's the Cheerios. You need to second guess that too. That Cheerios and all that, you know, processed and refined carbohydrates that you're eating for breakfast, you know, your English muffins and your jelly that you're stuffing down your throat for breakfast in the morning. You need to second guess that one too. You know what you need for breakfast? You need a mac shake. You need 16 ounces of orange juice, a whole banana, half a red apple, and half a green pear. That's what you need for breakfast every morning. And if you're still hungry, grill you up a pork chop. Okay, you know what? Grill you up a ribeye steak. You want to eat part of that cow? That's the cow you want to eat. That's the part you want to eat. Okay. Okay, there you go. Eat those. That's great. Have that with your breakfast. Skip the English muffins. Skip the Cheerios and the Count Chocula or whatever those that stuff is. Any cereal that's green, pink, or orange, I ain't eating. I'm telling you right now. Okay.
So. Does that say anything against, like, you know, soy milk, all that type of stuff that people are into?
Well, soy milk is not milk. Soy milk is made from a soybean. Now, it's only called soy milk because it looks like milk, and you can use it in its stead. I'm not here to promote the use of soy milk. I'm just here to make a case against milk.
Right.
You can replace it with anything you want. I don't care. So, but soy milk is not milk. These are people who are trying to sell it and dovetail and just, you know, get by riding on the coattails of milk. Okay? So, it's not, soy milk is not milk.
Right.
Make no mistake about it. I don't really know what it is. Do your own research there. I'm just saying that I'm making a case against milk. So my thing is, if you've been drinking milk and you haven't had any, then maybe you can keep on drinking it. I met a guy once who was smoking 4 cigars a day, and he was 83. Okay, I'm not going to recommend you do that. He says, I'm smoking 4 cigars every day, and I'm healthy. I says, good for you. God bless you. You know, and I hope that continues to work for you. I'm going to continue to tell people not to put a cigar in their face and not to light it up, because that's the kind of thing that can kill you, and so can milk. All right? Hey, gang, we're going to take a break here just for a minute. Like I said, I'm Mac Newton. This is the Power Hour. The fabulous Natasha is sitting there looking fabulous. Is she looking great today? Now you can see what she... Show them what you're wearing, baby. Look at that. Oh, yes. She's going to get up and walk around. And, of course, the magic man is sitting there. We're listening to the music of the one and only... William Count Basie, leader, piano player, composer of the fabulous Count Basie Orchestra. You guys stay right where you are. We'll be right back.
Hi everyone, this is Zach Geist, also known as the Magic Man. The Power Hour is brought to you by Newton Fitness Online, the same high conditioning and training that Mac Newton provides in his beautiful Central Phoenix, Arizona location is now available to you online, 24 hours a day. It couldn't be easier. Just log on to MacNewton.com and go to Mac's gym. Yep, his gym is online now. Just go and select your fitness level and go to class. Okay, don't put it off. Go to MacNewton.com now, check it out, and get in the best shape of your life.
Hey gang, welcome back. We're listening to the fabulous music of the Count Basie Orchestra. Wow. Just a little basic information on Mr. Count Basie himself. William Bill Basie studied music with his mom as a child, played piano, picked up the basics of early ragtime music from some of the great Harlem piano players. Studied informally with the great Fats Waller. And made his professional debut as an accompanist for vaudeville acts. And he actually replaced his teacher, Fats Waller, in an act called Katie Crippton and Her Kids. Wow, we're going way back. Okay, unbelievable. It was once while traveling with the Gonzel White vaudeville show that Basie got stranded in Kansas City when the outfit, the Gonzel White Traveling Vaudeville Show, that sounds like a movie, the Gonzel White Traveling Musical All-Stars. Okay.
Well, vaudeville was pretty far back, right?
Yeah, we're talking, I'm guessing back in the 20s and 30s, I'm imagining now. He was born in 1904, so I'm imagining somewhere around the mid-20s, okay? Well, he got stranded in Kansas City. I guess that's like back in those days getting stranded in Wiki Up, Arizona. And he played at a silent movie house for a while. And then he became a member of the Walter Page Blue Devils in 1928. Wow. And it was, in fact, Jimmy Rushing that got him started. It was a male vocalist. And invited him to attend a performance. And Basie soon joined the band, sitting in with him as a piano player. And that was his beginning as a band leader. He got stranded in Kansas City. Something you did not know. Something I did not know. So we're listening to the fabulous William Bill Basie. Turn it up a little bit. Considered along with oh, that's awesome. Ah, that's awesome right there. Wow. Anyway, Count Basie, considered along with Duke Ellington as having two of the greatest bands ever produced in America. Welcome back, gang. I'm Mac Newton. This is the Power House. I'm here to talk to you about in the bottom half of our show, last 20 minutes, about change or die. Change or die. And see, that's really what the show with Blair and I was all about, change. Goal setting is nothing but being able to control the direction of change. How to get better. Not just be sorry or resentful, but how to get better on a continuing basis, predictably. How to get predictably better. All right, let me ask you a question. What if you were given this choice? I'm going to ask you, both of you guys here, I want to see a show of hands. What if you were given a choice, change or die, for real? I'm not kidding. What if someone that you respected, someone very knowledgeable about something about you, there was something wrong with you? I'm not talking about some wild rhetoric about someone saying, oh, you got to change or you're going to die. Well, let's say some doctor knew there was something wrong with you and you had to actually change something about your behavior right now or you would die. Could you do it? Let me see your hands if you could do it. You both said yes. I have asked that question over the past week maybe 6 or 7 times in my classes. And every single time, every person in my class raised their hand, said yes. Every single time. And you know what? I feel you. I agree. I would do the same thing. However, I have proven since then that that's not the case. You know what the odds are, Magic Man? The odds are on you really being able to do that. The odds against you being able to do it.
Maybe 80% failure?
Well, more than that. Actually, 9-1.
All right.
9-1. The odds against you being able to do what you so readily said, yeah, I'll do that.
Sounds like I'd be in the death zone.
You might be in the death zone. In fact, you know what? I got news for you. That's where we live our lives anyway. The death zone. Only the decisions you make keep you away from it. And not only are we just trying to avoid death, we're trying to build the greatest enjoyment and achievement out of the lives that we have. So I don't want to paint this from just a negative perspective that we're trying to avoid death. But in order to get the most out of life, you certainly have to do that. You have to be alive. So you say, without question, that if it came down to you having to change your life, dramatically right now to avoid death, you'd be able to do it. That's what you're telling me. I'm saying you wouldn't be able to necessarily. I'm saying you're deluding yourself. I'm saying that you are responding in the way of probably 98% of the people in the world in the way they would respond. I got some facts and figures for you. Check this out. I say you're wrong. You're probably deluding yourself. I say you probably wouldn't change. If you don't believe me, here are the odds. Scientifically studied, 9-1. That's 9-1 against you. Don't like that, do you? No, you don't. These numbers came up. A few years ago, there was the IBM, International Business Machine Company, sponsored what was called the Global Innovation Outlook Conference. It was held in New York City. Some of the most far-sighted thinkers from around the world were there. And what they came together in New York to propose solutions to some of the really big problems, not only facing America, but facing forward-thinking governments around the world, especially the crisis in health care. And we're talking about an industry that consumes an astonishing almost $2 trillion a year in the United States alone. Okay? Now, and that's almost, actually over 15% of our gross national product going to just healthcare, all right? A dream team of experts took the stage and one after the other. And everyone is expecting them to come up with all sorts of breathtaking advances in science and technology that's going to tell us, give us all the long-awaited answers that we need that's going to change our direction and make us healthier and more productive. This is what they said. They said that the root cause of the healthcare crisis hasn't changed in decades. And that is that the medical establishment still couldn't figure out what to do about it. The founder of this global medical forum, okay, a Dr. Raphael Levy, all right, he told the audience, a relatively small percentage of the people, of the population, consumes the vast majority of the healthcare budget for diseases that are very well known and, by and large, behavioral. That is, they're sick because of how they choose to live their lives, not because of environmental or genetic factors beyond their control. We're talking about a Harvard graduate here who says, as far back as when I was in medical school at Harvard University, he said, there are five behavioral issues that caused this entire lexicon of illnesses, and it has not changed since then. And these five are smoking, drinking, poor eating, stress, and not enough exercise. Has not changed. I remember once when I was working for National Cash Register, there was a fellow named Tom Potier, and Tom had a heart attack, and he was in the hospital at a near South Side hospital in Chicago. And I remember myself and some of the other sales managers went to visit Tom in the hospital. And even as he was in the hospital for treatment of a heart attack, he wasn't in his room, and we checked with the nurses. He had been wheeled out to the break plaza where he was having a smoke. And so I immediately walked to the nurse's station. I said, do you know that one of your patients who's in here for treatment of a heart attack is out in the break plaza having a smoke? Yeah, oh, yeah. Did anyone inform him of the dangers that he needed to change his lifestyle immediately? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And so I said, Tom, what are you doing? He said, oh, you know, it doesn't really matter. I'm going to die of something one day anyway. There you have it. People would rather have that last cigarette. They'd rather do that than change. Why? Change, is that scary? Come on. Is change that scary? Answer, yes. Change is that scary. It is that scary. Change. Wow. The knockout blow at this conference was delivered by Dr. Edward Miller, the dean of the medical school and CEO of the hospital at Johns Hopkins University. He turned the discussion to patients whose heart disease was so severe that they had to undergo bypass surgery, very traumatic, expensive procedure that can cost over $100,000, or even heart transplants. Over 600,000 people have bypasses every year in the U.S., and about 1.5 million heart patients have gotten angioplasties, all at a total cost of somewhere around, hang on to your seats, $30 billion. That's billion with a B. The procedures temporarily relieve chest pains, but rarely prevent future heart attacks or prolong lives. About half the time, the bypass grafts clog up in a few years. The angioplasties clog up in a few months. The causes of this so-called these conditions are complex. Anyway, many patients could avoid the return of the pain and the need to repeat these procedures, or not to mention change the direction of their lives and save their lives by switching to healthier lifestyles. Yet, fewer than 25% do. And we're only talking about people who've actually had heart transplants, angioplasties, open heart surgery. Wow. Unbelievable. By switching to healthier lifestyles, if you look at people after coronary artery bypass, 90% of them, as I said, 9 to 1, 90% of them have not changed their lifestyle according to Dr. Miller. And it's been studied over and over, and it comes down to the same thing. Even though they know they have a bad disease, even though they know they have their lifestyle, for whatever reason, they can't. There's your odds, 9 to 1. 9 to 1. Change or die. And it comes even simpler than that sometimes. A person changing the way they drive their car, instead of putting their hands on 10 and 2 and being able to actually adjust, they'd rather put their hand at the bottom of the steering wheel and cruise down, knowing that they'd have to overturn. And if they did avoid whatever came into the road, they wouldn't be able to assume control of the car. They're going to roll it. So rather than change, they'd rather think nothing ever happened, or I could do that. Change or die. Change or die. Not just with the health, but basic. Or you're going to end up with your picture being taken from a helicopter at night. And when that happens, it's never good. When your picture is being taken by a camera in a helicopter at night, it's not good. You're on the late news and it's a fatality. Or you're trying to escape from the police and the dog's running after you. One or two. It's not good. Wow. Change or die. Okay. So I've got here, very quickly, because we've got about 8 minutes to go, gang. It's amazing. Our first show back and we're on fire as we always are. Don't you love it, Natasha?
I do. I love it. I'm going to get a hose in a second. hose you down.
I want to give you guys an idea of what stage of change you're in. Now, I read a piece by a Dr. James Prochaska. He's a psychologist at the University of Rhode Island, and he developed a widely influential model of the stages of change. And he did this in regards to people recovering from coronary artery surgery, needing to quit smoking, needing to change their life. But I'm talking about change of any kind here, all right? Now, if I miss something, I'm gonna finish this, but I may have to start next week to kind of tie this together a little bit. But I want to find out what stage of change you're in. Stage number one. Now, Dr. Prochaska has given us the stage, a name for that stage. He's going to give you the typical statements that happen being in that stage. I'm going to give you my critique or the risk that person is running in that particular stage. Okay, we ready to roll?
Sure.
Okay. Stage number one. the good doctor says, it's called the contemplation, a pre-contemplation stage. In other words, never. Never. The person in this stage is saying, well, you know what, there, I may have some faults, but it's not anything that I really need to change. As far as I'm concerned, I don't have any problems that need changing. That's the pre-contemplation. Zach, have you ever talked to anyone in that situation?
All the time.
Oh yeah, all the time. You know, I don't
tell anybody their business.
Right. I'm fine. I don't need to change anything. I once had a guy who I don't remember all the details of it, but I guess I think I'd done a live presentation downtown or something, and he met me coming off of stage, and he says, "Oh, that was pretty good." He says, "Personally, I don't have anything that needs changing." He said, "Personally," I just smiled at him. He said, "You know what?" He says, "I thought that was pretty good, but I don't really have anything that needs changing."
So
see, yeah, that's the pre-contemplation, the never stage. And you know what, my spot, I didn't say anything to him at all, because I don't really care. I mean, you know, it's a resource. Take it or leave it. Anyway, what the risk you're running in that stage is the same thing I was thinking about him. You know what it is, dude? You are in denial. You're in denial, and what's happened here at this stage is you've probably been coerced. There's someone in your circle of friends or family or coworkers who has been trying to get you to change, and you've not done it. And you're not going to let them do it. You're going to dig in your heels, and you're not going to let them shame you into it. That's I think, the risk that you're running from that stage. Stage number two. Stage number two is the contemplation. Contemplation stage. That's the someday, according to Dr. Prochaska. Someday. He says that these people are saying, you know, I've been thinking I wanted to change something about myself. You know, maybe I would if I had some ideas on how to get started, or, you know, something I could do. The contemplation stage. All right, here's my assessment. You know, people in that stage, stage two, can stay in stage two for their entire lives, forever. And never, you know why? Because they're feeling righteous because of their good intentions. Great grandma always said to me, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. You're feeling all righteous and everything. You know what? Maybe I would, but you know, someday. And that feeling of righteousness makes you feel, you know, I'm almost doing it. Okay, but you know what? There's a good side to this. I think in that stage, if someone gives you a book to read, or you hear a persuasive leader or speaker, you might respond to it and be swung over. Like I say, if you've got a group of 10 people together, two of them, you can't do anything to save. I don't care what you give them, they're going to fail. Two of them on the other end, it doesn't matter. What you put in their path, they're going to succeed. I don't care what hole you throw them in, what you cover them up with, they're going to crawl out and be successful. It's the eight in the middle you can swing. Well, when you get in stage two, you can be swung. All right? If you can be a book or a persuasive leader, you hear something, you can be moved one way or the other. Stage three, that's called, according to the good doctor, preparation stage. In other words, we're going to get together soon, Dad. Soon. Real soon.
Tomorrow. Okay.
Soon. I didn't say tomorrow. I said soon. And doctor says these people are making statements like, I have decided to make changes in my health. I have decided to make changes in soon. Okay, soon. I am committed to making some changes. I'm going to change it. I'm going to join a health club. I'm going to learn a new language. I'm going to finish my education soon. Well, when exactly? Soon. Okay.
In a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. I'm, you know, what is it?
Pretty soon.
Yeah, pretty soon. Pretty soon. Yeah. Okay, this is stage three. We haven't done a thing yet, okay? Now, this is like a form of mental rehearsal. It's a form of mental rehearsal, and this this almost this mental fantasy of I'm going to do it soon can become your reality. You can do this so long and you feel so good about it that it can become your reality. You think you've done it. You think you really are working out. You believe it. You know, you may even drop by a club every once in a while. You know, send me some stuff on that, would you? Could you send me an email on that? You know, drop me a tweet or something here. Absolutely.
Oh, I'm joining the club.
Hey, here's my card. Yeah. I go there. Well, when's the last time you were there? Well,
when I signed up.
But I'm going back. When?
Of course. Soon.
Soon? Okay. That's exactly right. But here's the problem. Here's your real risk. As I said, this rehearsal can become your reality, and fully 85% of the people who really need to change their behavior for health reasons never even get to this stage or ever progress past it. There you have it. Three stages of change. What have you done so far? Zilch. Nada. Nothing. Okay. All right, gang, it's 5 minutes before the hour. We're still trying to get out of this burning building. Hang with me, folks. I'm getting to it. Stage four.
Oh.
Stage four. No, don't. Okay.
There's
five stages.
Okay.
Three stages so far, and what have we done so far?
Nothing.
Soon. Okay. All right, stage four. And I'm not making light of this. Well, this is a very serious topic, but hey, let's approach it with a sense of, joviality about it, I guess.
So far, we've prepared to get ready.
So far, that's exactly right. Stage four. This is the action stage. Action stage, according to doctor. The good doctor says, action. This is the now. When are you going to do it? Now. Going to do it now. In fact, that person is saying right now, I have joined the club. I am working out. I'm doing okay. Maybe I could be more consistent. I need to be more consistent. But I'm doing it. You know, lots of people talk about it. I talked about it for a long time. But now I'm actually doing something about it. I'm working out. What does this person risk? What is their risk now, Natasha? What is the hard thing for them? And you'll relate to this because when you started working out, here's the deal that makes it hard at this point. Once you get started, the thing is it becomes an emotional struggle. It becomes an emotional struggle to keep it up, to make a new habit out of it. It becomes emotionally challenging. What I like to do when people come to me, I like to create a quick change in them so they'll feel a psychic lift. So when we're working here on the Power Hour, I usually give them a quick thing that they can do to feel a psychic lift, to feel good right away, to accomplish a small goal. To say, yeah, I can do this. It builds them psychically. It builds them spiritually. It builds them emotionally so that they can keep up the change. They can keep the change motivated in their lives, okay? So the risk at this point is that it has now become an emotional struggle. It's important to change quickly sometime so that you can feel the short-term effect, the short-term benefit that give a psychic lift and make it easier to stick with the change. All right, last stage, stage five. That's the maintenance stage. That's the forever stage. That's the stage you want to get to. However, you're saying the words forever now.
Consistency.
I'm doing it. It's part of my life. According to Dr. Prosjeska, these people are saying, making statements like, this has become part of my life, part of my day, and I feel it when I don't do it. I have to do it every day. I'm committed to it. I may need a boost from time to time just to help me maintain these changes, but I'm committed. I'm committed to it. They're a member of the choir, okay? They've joined the choir. They're going to be there forever. However, what do they risk now? What does this choir member risk? Well, they have a lot to lose if they relapse. That's their That's what they have. And see, and when you see someone who's really doing it forever, and they've gotten to a high level of fitness or a high accomplishment in almost anything, when they relapse, they fall far and they fall hard. So there's a couple things you got to realize. Here's the risk. Even though you've created a new pathway of thinking, even though you've gone through all this, the stages, the pre-contemplation, the contemplation, you've gotten past the soon, you finally got started, it's now, and it's become part of your thinking, your mindset. So from here, your risk is relapse. How do we avoid that? You got to understand that the old pathway is still there. We have to constantly build on our thought process, how we think, what we do. Okay? Got to constantly think on it. Now, when do relapses usually occur? When people are under stress. When people go through things like divorces, they lose their business, they lose a client, they go through, have a medical emergency, a family member gets sick, something happens, a car, anything that causes stress, you have to realize that that stress now can allow that old pathway to now assume prominence again. And you could easily relapse and fall back into the old pathway, and it'll feel familiar as it always did. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay. But knowledge is power, gang. By your knowledgeable about that, and you know what? I got a lot to lose with what I've accomplished in my exercise, what I've accomplished in my personal growth. I'm not going to let that go. I'm not going to let this stress that I'm under take that away from me. I'm going to deal with that stress. I'm going to objectively and systematically and consciously deal with that stress. I will not lose my steps forward at this point in time. What state of change are you in? And what controls all of those things is the whole process of goal setting, the whole process of setting relentless goals and doing it on an ongoing basis, gang. All right, there we have it. I've built a case against milk. I've talked to you about change and how difficult it is. Again, undermining our importance for goal setting. Let's bring it up. Wow. I hope you enjoyed today's show. We were visited by the late great William Count Basie. From Red Bank, New Jersey in 1904. And gave us music that will last forever. Don't you love that name? Count Basie.
I've always liked it since you introduced me to him.
Yeah. Now you got Count Basie, you got Duke Ellington. I like Mac Daddy. I'm just going to stick with that. Okay. All right, gang. It's been a great show. I'm glad you guys tuned in. It has been my distinct pleasure to have you as my guest on the show because I know you had a choice. We do this every single Thursday at 5 o'clock. It is now just a few minutes past. We're a little over, but we can do that. You know why? It's my show. Okay. All right, gang. Do me a favor, though, gang. Tell a friend. If you enjoy the show, tell a friend so they might enjoy it too. As always, as we close, I want to tell you to be true to yourself, which means let your thoughts and your behaviors match. Let your words and your actions be congruent. Let them work together. All right? I also want to give thanks to Bob Adlock, who really was to put us on the air. You know what? We're going to put, hopefully I'll get it on next week. I'm going to put one of the old Power Hour shows from TV on my website.
I'd love to see it.
Would you love to see it? That's awesome. They are absolutely awesome. They really are. Anyway, and you'll see how we ran it pretty much the same way we do today. Only my co-host was John Cannon. In fact, who I'm saying thanks to. JC, my sidekick, my co-host forever. And JB, we still miss you, man. Went away far too soon. And of course, to the fabulous Natasha Magic Man sitting in. Give you all yourselves a hand. As I said, my name is the Mag Daddy. This has been the Power Hour. 3, 2, 1. I am out.